At the 40, tackled by Jordan Hancock, and Ohio State, national champions, beating Notre Dame tonight. 34-23, the ninth national championship in Ohio State history.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
And that was perfect because Lou Holtz was sitting right upstairs to watch Ryan Day win his national championship. Gee,
yes, he was. Yes, he was sitting there. His beloved Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Fantastic band stuff they've got. I love their in-game presentation. But they made a valiant comeback. A valiant comeback. Very subdued Ohio State radio with the call. I can't imagine most programs are going to be like, hey, Ohio State's the national champs. All right, cool. Way to go, kids. Ohio State wins their ninth title, they say. All these colleges claim a million more titles than they actually have. Alabama, like Princeton, claims like 25. You know, they just claim a bunch of them. But Ohio State wins. They also covered the spread. There was an 8 point, 8.5, 9, depending on how you got it. And it was money in the bank at 31-7. And then all of a sudden, the bottom fell out, and they cut it to an 8 point game. They wind up winning by a 10 point score. And Ohio State is your champs. They went through number one, number three, number five, and number seven en route to the national title.
Where were they before the year, roughly? Who was was Georgia the favorite?
Georgia, Texas, Ohio State.
They're all right there.
That's going to be important here in a second. Two other things that spark social media. Some people apparently just missed the entire game in that awesome opening drive for Notre Dame because of the President of the United States shown on television. That was a weird thing from ESPN and ABC. They throw it to President Trump, who normally, mm-hmm. it's like, hey, go out there and win.
Yeah.
But Donald has to rip apart.
He weaves.
He has to get his side shots into the previous organization. That turned a lot of people off on Twitter, and they're like, screw this. Screw you, ABC. Screw you, ESPN. I'm not watching. And then the other thing was,
they beat Oregon. Oregon's very bad. Very bad people over there. Yeah. They don't vote. I love Ohio. I love Indiana. Tremendous.
I hated turning on the pregame show, and it's like, why am I watching George Stephanopoulos and Robin Roberts talk about this? This is weird.
I didn't see that.
They were there like an hour and a half before. That was the opening thing. They had them sitting there as like, talking about, yeah, we're excited. Our first national show. I was like, why are you here?
Why are you there?
I don't care what you have to say.
Right. And I also did not see Lee Corso, which was trending for the pregame show. Dressing up as Lucky. Is that it? Lucky the Leprechaun. Yeah. And finally, Bobby, again, stealing an opinion of mine, not giving me the credit.
I forgot. We have to footnote and source every opinion of ours in text with Sean.
Well,
I've given you credit for that.
I want you to
opinion.
Actually reciprocate something. Don't be like these other media thieves out here. It's in such a nasty, ugly profession, especially after I throw up a sister, you fools, nonstop. Lee Corso, I mean, people get upset by it. People get all worked up. I've said it for years, the uncomfortable thing. They have to get him off television for his own sake. I blame Herb Street. I view him as like the Stephen Jones son type figure. And he needs to pull Lee aside or talk to the producers. Enough with this whole, he was on game day. He has the right. He has to say it's uncomfortable. It's gotten sad now at this point with Lee up there stumbling and bumbling. And it's time.
Can you understand him?
Yeah, some days.
I can't understand. Sometimes. I couldn't understand him
days.
Last night.
He has his good days. He has his bad days. They've done a good job of keeping him off of it, though. They don't put, like, it's a three-hour show. They only put him up there at the very end or, like, one other time in the middle. Like, he's not on at the same rate that he was even a couple of years ago. Like, he's really taken a step back. I mean, it's, like, the problem is it's his show. Like, he started the show. He is the show. And that's the approach they have taken.
What do you mean he started it?
I don't think anybody consuming the show wants him on there anymore.
No, I don't think
I think some might get a little warm and fuzzy feeling.
You do. Some do.
Some might, but it's not. It's ESPN's show. Like, did Lee was he on the original cast? Are you saying, like, does he have executive rights?
I don't know if he has executive rights or not.
I doubt he does. It's just uncomfortable, you know?
It is. Oh, there's no doubt about that. Like,
don't
no
put him up
that.
There to be more in a blooper reel than a highlight.
I almost took a photo of it. Saban and Herb Street were on either side of him, and while he's talking, they both have this look on their face like, get through it. Come on, get through it. Like,
yeah.
It's this look of just like, please.
It's helping your grandparent across the street not wanting them to fall. Like, everyone's got to sit up there, and again, I'm not being mean-spirited about it. Like, it's sad.
No, it's awful of ESPN. It's not a Lee court. It's not like, Lee, you terribly... It's, yeah. Lee's not doing anything wrong. Lee, yeah. If Lee wants to take
like
part,
Biden,
I understand it.
People with their nasty attacks towards Joe Biden, like, the man has lost cognitive steps. Like, you're going to do it, and your family is going to do it. Like, you want to... He's helpless.
Somebody should... Yeah, you should have enough decency to step in and say, Lee, you shouldn't be on here.
ESPN views it as... From what I believe, ESPN views it as they would take a bigger PR hit by removing him.
I'm not disagreeing with it. They need to figure out a way for it to sound
like a retirement,
like to sound mutual. They need to figure out a way for it to sound mutual, and hopefully Lee would go along with it. I got so many Corso texts last night, even from other buddies, like people mad that he is being put in a position to be on there.
It's
like
tough.
That.
I mean, it is tough to watch. There's no doubt about that. So you have the photo of the favorites for next year.
Oh, yeah.
To win the national championship.
Yes. So this was put up from ESPN Bet. What?
Have you seen the Ryan Day golf cart video? This was popular. Yeah. That was the first time I had seen it.
We have to talk about that. All right. The six best odds. I'm going to go from bottom to top. The six best odds, the Alabama Crimson Tide. That's another thing, mixing in politics and sports, our forte here on the morning show at 105.3 The Fan. I did not hear this live.
This is on C-SPAN. I don't think
I've ever watched C-SPAN.
Oh, I have.
I have no idea where it is.
I used to watch Canadian Parliament on there all the time. It's a lie. I didn't. I never heard that.
But, I was going to say, the only person in this building who watched that was Reggie, and then he moved. So,
I think...
Honestly, what is C-SPAN supposed to be?
C-SPAN is...
I mean, I've heard of it. I don't know what it's about.
It's generally, like, no opinion, just news. And it's
PBS?
It's live feeds of the Senate discussions.
Yeah, my dad used to watch this all the time.
No commentary shows.
Not much. There's a little bit of it, but it's not much commentary. It's more just like an empty feed.
So they were taking phone calls while watching. They were doing a feed of the inauguration. They're taking phone calls. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this sounds like it's Geraldo hosting this thing. I couldn't find out who the host of it was, but they get a caller who completely derails the entire political talk.
Hoping to become the next director of national intelligence, Graham in Jersey City, New Jersey, Democrats line.
Hi, I want to wish everyone a happy MLK Day. I hope everyone's staying warm. I'm a bit disappointed how the election turned out. I think it would have been great to see a female president inaugurated today. While I'm disappointed in the American people and their desire to see another 4 years of Trump, I'm a bit more disappointed in the selection committee for not picking Alabama for the college football playoff finals, and instead picking inferior teams like SMU and Indiana. Truly dark times in America.
Okay. Graham there. We've got pictures of more of the president's hopeful cabinet.
They have it set up the way C-SPAN works. They'll have like a conservative line, a Democrat line. So you call into these two different lines, like for these issues things, and listeners will call and people will call
that's
in.
That's why he said Democrats line. Yeah. I didn't understand that either.
Callers will call in and they will prank that line a lot.
Wow.
So there's a Bama fan not happy. Bama for next year plus 1,300 to win the national championship. Coming in at number five at plus 750, the Penn State Nittany Lions. At number four, the Oregon Ducks at plus 750. At number three, the Georgia Bulldogs at plus 600. At number two, the defending champion, Ohio State Buckeyes, plus 500. And that means all the pressure is going to be, and Pepe is fist pumping for it, on he and Bobby's Texas Longhorns, the favorite with Arch. At plus 450, Peyton. You want the pressure? You want the spotlight?
You got it.
I want it. We always get it, even on the years we sucked. We got it, and we didn't do well. But, no, we got next year. It's our chair time, baby. Let's do it.
It makes sense why Texas is going to be the favorite. They're returning a bunch of different people. They've got another strong recruiting class coming in. They're going to switch over to Arch. Like, I get why. Even if they're not the best team, like, I think Ohio State right now set up to probably be the best team heading into next year.
Will Howard back or gone?
No, Will Howard was a senior.
Yeah, he was a transfer from K-State.
What does that mean?
yeah, I know, right? Other teams that are have
Georgia's odds. Georgia's won with seniors for years.
A&M and Miami are 30-1. Michigan 40-1. South Carolina 40-1. Clemson 20-1. Notre Dame 15-1. Tennessee 16-1. LSU 18-1.
So Penn State is a significantly better favorite to win the national title than Alabama.
Almost half.
Sad times for Kalen DeBoer.
Talk about the golf cart while I have some developing cowboy news.
Oh, boy. So this is actually hilarious. A riot day at Ohio State. They were being driven to their Ohio State press conference yesterday. And I don't want to, you know, say this, make any large takeaways from this, but there was a lady who was driving this golf cart. And
takeaways.
She was look. I think you know it's January 20th. There was a lady, or January 21st. There was a lady driving this golf cart, and she, in an attempt to turn the corner, just floors this golf cart directly into the wall. It almost sends Ryan Day flying. Ohio State fans almost didn't have a say in whether Ryan Day was returning. He almost died flying into this concrete wall.
Man.
And they just get up and are like, let's walk to the press conference room.
Pretty sure the steering radius on that golf cart wasn't what she thought it was.
No.
I didn't even open up this because I thought people were just sending the meme of, you know, someone's,
Austin Powers.
The eight point turn or whatever. But she clocked this wall. Right tire gone.
Gone.
Finished.
They got up. They're laughing. They get up. They're walking. Ryan Day's lucky he didn't go through the windshield of that thing.
It's like Kristen popping the tire on our Explorer.
I was about to say, anytime your wife gives you a hassle in the car, just pull up the video.
Dude.
Just pull up that Ohio State video.
When Mike Osman had realigned our car after we got those tires replaced, he was like, boy, I think she's been hitting some curbs. I was like, yeah. He goes, yeah. He's like, your alignment looked like Jewel's teeth. They were just all over the place.
Dang!
Whoa!
Mike on blast for being a
that was a good Jewel line,
hater.
Mike!
That was a good line.
Did SMU force the ACC to change their conference championship game? So SMU was the one seed. They won the regular season in the ACC. The ACC is considering for next year taking the team that wins the regular season, keeping them out of the conference championship game, and having number two versus number three play. So that number one team, like Rhett Lashley spoke about, where he said, we'd be better off maybe not even playing this game. So they would not have had to sweat out the championship, and it would give those other two teams an opportunity to get an extra data point against a good quality opponent. That's something we talked about, that these conference championship games might have a very short lifespan.
Is that it?
That's it, yeah.
All right. College football kegger from Ralph James Choppy here on DFW Sports Station. 24 hours ago, this very time yesterday, we were floored over Brian Schottenheimer being made the Vegas favorite to replace Mike McCarthy. We have a Cowboy coaching development that we bring you next on 105.3 The Fan. 24 hours ago, we had a developing situation with Vegas shooting Brian Schottenheimer up the boards for the number one candidate to replace Mike McCarthy here on the home of the Cowboys. And 24 hours later, we have another development as Ian Rappaport saying the Cowboys are expected. And now a lot of Tolos who voted 94% against Brian Schottenheimer as head coach said, well, at least there's been no interview. How far along could this have gotten? Adam Schefter yesterday, who didn't sound like he knew much of anything about this, is like, they haven't even interviewed him. Well, the Cowboys are now expected to interview Brian Schottenheimer, according to Ian Rappaport. Quote, well-respected in the building, Schottenheimer has been an OC for more than a decade. Intriguing option to take the next step. Bobby, tell us everything you found out after the show yesterday on the phones.
Is that there seems to be a lot of conflicting information in Frisco right now, but by people who are usually have a good sense and are usually in lockstep with, you know, the various things that are going on in there. And you're hearing different people going, well, I don't have a really good read, or man, I think it's going to be this and I think it's going to be that. And you're hearing contradictions from people that don't normally contradict each other. And the sense of it is that Jerry is so in control on this one right now that there's a little bit of an unpredictability to it, where normally it's a bigger consensus usually, and there's usually a lot of different voices involved, and they're kind of building up to an idea. This one has felt a little more Jerry's call with some other influence in there. And I think what's that's causing is people are just going like, in order to really know what's going on, you got to kind of be in Jerry's mind right now. And so you're just reading tea leaves and getting a sense. But I know there are people in there who think Brian Schottenheimer's getting this job. There are other people who think Kellen Moore's getting this job. There are some people who think Robert Saleh could get this job. Like, it's a bunch of different areas. Robert Saleh interviewed really well. Leslie Frazier interviewed really well. They love Kellen Moore. They love Brian Schottenheimer. And everybody's just kind of reading tea leaves at this point and trying to figure out, all right, where could this be going?
Choppy, I don't know if this would actually result in attendance problems, ratings problems. But I know from just a reaction standpoint, this is setting up to be an absolute complete meltdown. A meltdown from Cowboy fans and media.
Yeah, I mean, from an inspiring, uninspiring hire, this would I think, lay on the uninspiring side. And guess what?
You think?
Yeah. I think Brian Schottenheimer would know that. Like, he would understand that, too. Like, he gets it. Nobody knows who he is here. You know, he's no longer a hot coaching candidate name. I think the Cowboys don't care, and I don't know that they should care. I think they should hire who they think is the best coach for the job. They should not worry about whether or not you could sell this to the fan base or whether or not there's going to be excitement or whether or not people are going to come to Oxnard. You know, they're going to come to Oxnard.
I could give, and I agree with much of what you're saying. I'd be way more willing to give the benefit of the doubt if you did your homework on everybody. If I know that you put in the time to talk to Belichick, Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, and you did all of that, and you're like, you know, we really like Brian Schottenheimer the most.
I don't blame them on Bill. Blame them with Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn.
Why not?
Because nobody in the NFL wanted Bill.
No one in the NFL wants Brian Schottenheimer.
I agree.
So what's the difference?
Well,
no one in the NFL has wanted Kellen Moore.
Well, because he's in your building and you like him, you know. But like, the league has basically told you that Bill Belichick.
I don't care. Well, I don't care what the league thinks. And I know deep down you don't care what the league thinks. Jerry Jones and his little snide comment to us when he went off on us, you should come to the owner's meetings. Well, maybe we should, because there's at least a third of the teams who are dumbasses, period. The same teams pick at the very, very top. At the very least, you should talk to the one that Jerry would call the greatest coach ever. You should pick his brain. You should figure out how it would work, what he thinks is wrong. Self-eval. They're allergic to self-eval. They don't have mirrors in the building. I don't care what the rest of the league thinks about Bill Belichick. We've already labeled him and branded him the greatest coach of all time, and he was sitting there twice for you, and you didn't talk to him? Now, maybe they had a conversation behind the scenes that we don't know about. It doesn't sound like they did. Ben Johnson wants nothing to do with you? Imagine being a coaching candidate in Major League Baseball, college basketball, or the NBA, and you don't even want to go near Duke, North Carolina, the New York Yankees, the Dodgers, or the LA Lakers, or the New York Knicks. That's not the way it's supposed to be, and that's the way it's coming across
here.
Yeah,
I don't want any part of it. I would get, like, I understand players not wanting to go play for the Yankees, like the crowd, the fans. It's just, I mean, they want to fire Aaron Boone every week. I get it. You don't want to deal with that crap. It's not that bad. It's not as bad here with that. Like, it's
not in the city. It's nationally.
It's nationally.
Nationally,
yeah.
Is the big nightmare.
Right. It is. It is. And you know what?
It's the first fake shows and all that stuff.
Now, is it easier to avoid national than local? I don't know. I don't know how that plays in, but I mean,
no, I think they're consuming more. Any airport,
yeah, every airport's
team
on
facility,
yeah.
Locker room. You know, and I shouldn't say first fake, because I respect Stephen A. nowadays for being more real and legit back in the Bayless days. But they're consuming more national TV and looking at it, I think, than local.
I got a text from somebody who coaches in the league right now yesterday on Schottenheimer when his name popped up. And I hadn't even reached out to them. They just saw the news and they texted me and they said, honest to God, I didn't realize Brian Schottenheimer was even working in Dallas. I thought Schottenheimer was on the beach.
So, I think that if you were going to go truthfully, the excitement level of the 2025 season, if they hire Schottenheimer, is now based off of and changed based on the draft pick. If they choose...
And signings.
Let's say they hire Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
But then they turn around, and look, even if it's the wrong position to hire, to draft, they choose Aston Jeanty, who everybody knows.
Right.
There's hype there regardless.
Yep.
There's hype.
Trade for Miles Garrett.
Whatever. Right?
Yeah.
That's you're going to Oxnard with hype.
Some hype.
You're going to Oxnard with more hype than you would if you drafted somebody that you've never heard of, probably a defensive tackle from Michigan.
Right.
Now here's your option. You draft a defensive tackle from Michigan, and you have the same exact offseason you had last year, but you hired Bill Belichick. I think the hype with Aston Jeanty and a trade for Miles Garrett is higher going to camp with Schottenheimer.
Okay. But
is that crazy?
I don't think it's crazy.
No, they're not going to draft.
That was my follow-up.
The problem is they're not going to trade for Miles Garrett.
Yeah, they're not going to trade for Miles. I don't think so. 877-881-1053. RJ Ochoa has been cranking out good Cowboys tweets because people are suggesting, hey, Schottenheimer allows for your Witten Bridge. That's another just bad taste about this whole thing. The thought, we don't know if it's 1,000% true, but the thought that Jerry is telling whoever the replacement is, Jason Witten needs to be on staff and, you know, wink, wink, 3 years from now. And Ochoa tweeted, I feel like the Cowboys are running out of ways to embarrass themselves. This isn't sports anymore. It's fan fiction. So Brian Schottenheimer is getting an interview. In 14 years as an OC, he's ranked top 10 in yards per game just twice. He's ranked in the top 10 in scoring offense five times, but only once did he rank in the top five. So these are some of the numbers that fans are freaking out about.
Yeah, I mean, so many people want the CEO, though, is also the other thing. And again, I wouldn't hire him. I will repeat that over and over again. I want them to hire Kellen Moore. But so many people want the CEO role, like that's the candidate they want. He is one of the better candidates left out there that you could hire from a CEO, like, culture role.
Now who do you want?
Well, you and I, we are in line this segment here.
It's only been 15 years.
I was about to say it's only been 4 hours of the show. Handicap now. I want everyone's pie. I want everyone's coaching pie with your percentages at 877-881-1053. Franco LaFranco, injury attorney, text line. Who do you think it's going to be? You have to give me percentage, pie percentage for Schottenheimer, Kellen, and then whoever your third candidate is. Who wants to go first? I'll go first.
Yeah, go first.
You don't have to include a third if you don't want to. I will go 60. I'll go 50% Kellen, 30%, 35% Schottenheimer, 15% Saleh.
55% Kellen, 40% Schottenheimer, 5% Deion Sanders.
Okay, will you explain that, please? Why Deion, who has totally been forgotten about now in the past 72 hours, weekend, why are you still throwing Deion in there?
Because it's the 5%. Does Jerry just go like, screw all you guys, I'm going to do what I want? Because I think
Moore write? I'm not paying for it. I'm not going to access it. What did he write with Deion on the cover? Or was it just an older?
No, same sort of that. Basically, it's just, it comes down to how does Jerry view his remaining time? Does he say, this will be the last coaching hire I make? I'm going to go out the same way I came in. I'm going to go in as the Wildcatter. Deion makes sense. Does he just say, you know what? Let's be a little reasonable here. Let's just play things down the middle. All right, well, then he probably looks at one of the other candidates. And basically, it just comes down to, which way does Jerry end up leaning this time? Because that's the thing. This feels like to so many people that this is just, it's at the whim of like, does Jerry just go, I'm going to go this way?
Yeah.
And that's, it's been so long since a massive decision has felt like Jerry was right there. But I think Jerry wanted them to make a move to go get Jonathan Mingo when they did. Not necessarily like, go get me Jonathan Mingo, but he's like, find me somebody.
Yeah.
Find me somebody I want the Super. Because I was.
Bassick's theory.
That was something that caused tension between him and Mike McCarthy down the stretch, by the way. He did not like how little Mike McCarthy had Jonathan Mingo out there. That was a frustrating aspect for him, where he's like, the hell am I doing trading a fourth round pick for somebody, telling you I want somebody, and then you're telling me they can't
play. I would just stop it at, what the hell am I doing trading a fourth round pick for that guy?
Regardless, you're talking about a guy who went in the second round the year before and they traded for, and you go, you can come up with concepts to get him in there. Don't tell me you can't find any way to get him on the field. That's not true. And that's where Jerry came down on.
I don't even want to hear RJ's names. I just want to know if he finally gets a math equation correct with your pie.
Yeah, I'm struggling over here.
I almost
got out pens. I'm like, guys, it's to 100.
I almost went 55, 40, 15, and I was like, oh, wait, 5.
Yeah. I'll go 60 Kellen. Oh. I'll do 30 Shoddy. and then 10, Saleh.
Okay, so we all still think it's going to be Kellen. I wanted to figure out, because I can't bring myself to the reality. I can't say it that Jerry Jones is going to make Brian Schottenheimer the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. No way. No way.
Is Witten out?
As the head coach, yes. 98% assistant.
What is your, you said that you felt a little better once you saw some of the track record with Schottenheimer and you heard him a little bit. So if your excitement level on a 1 out of 10 would have been a 1 for Schottenheimer yesterday, is it a 2 now after learning some things, or is it a little higher?
I might.
Or not excitement, confidence.
Oh, I can't say confidence. I'll say excitement.
Okay.
I'll probably say 4.
Okay.
I mean, I really like listening to the guy. I went back and got his sit down with the G-Bag Nation, and they asked him about which one you want, barring plays offensively, the too high shell defense in the league, or his last sports cry. Too shell.
Yeah. The too high shell is interesting.
All right, let's play that, Pepe.
What I notice is the speed of defenses now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, remember when I came into the league, it was freaking Lavon Kirkland and the guy, these 260-pound linebackers, And now so many teams are playing sub-defense, and so many of these linebackers are 4'5", 4'6", guys. And so I think that's one of the things. But, again, where we're really, really good, again, is what we call above the 2.3, right? If they're going to drop 8, what most mature quarterbacks know is, okay, I should have time. Mm-hmm. And that's our friend. Whereas young quarterbacks, they kind of panic. Like, right. Like they've got their rhythm and time clock. Like, oh, the ball should be gone. Well, yeah, but they're only rushing 3. And so, like, what I've learned is, like, I remember in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence, like, they would drop 8 and only rush 3. And, like, he'd still be on that the time clock where the ball's got to come out of his hands. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, dude, just relax. Like, we've got time. We've got the advantage. And so the way that thing's going to adapt is us having to hurt people with that, and that might be Dak with his arm or Dak with his legs. But the speed's a big part of it that defenses now have.
It's a big – you can hear some of it there. That's some of the philosophical difference, too, on McCarthy. McCarthy wants the ball out. Like, even if it's dropping through, McCarthy wants rhythm, timing, tempo, get the ball out on your steps. Do the Schottenheimer's dad goes like, you don't – there's not, like, an internal clock that rule that says you have to get the ball out. Take a second.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
What do you mean? He's saying if Trevor Lawrence was seeing 8 back, you don't have to get it out in 2.5 seconds.
It's still, I mean, if you look at the quarterback, because we talked about Sean Payton had that comment earlier the year, sacks are on the quarterback. It's about getting the ball out. The guys who get the ball out of the better one. Now,
if you're blocking up 3 with 5, you don't have to just get the ball out.
You don't have to. Also, and part of the issue is guys move around so much now. When you don't have a mobile quarterback, and the Cowboys don't, you do have to be on time more.
And then they finished up with, and this shows this guy very, I can see why they love his personality in Frisco, his last sports cry.
No, I cried after the Green Bay game this year.
That's my guy.
All right. Thank you. My wife actually was surprised because she said that was the last time I cried. Actually, the only time before that was when Sam Bradford tore his ACL the second year in a row. Yeah. Just because I felt so bad for him because he had worked his way back. But after the Green Bay game, I took that one hard and was disappointed, really, for the players.
Proud you made it to the end there. I think I'd have cried at half myself. I was, actually.
Hey, we were trying to fix it. So you did not have time. But, man, when you put so much into this, and it's not for us, it's for them, for the locker room, right? Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, any loss is tough to take, but that was a special group, and we're excited for this special group we got now.
See, Tolos, he bled with you. He cares. Brian Schottenheimer getting an official interview, according to Ian Rappaport. All right, let's see who's getting in the Baseball Hall of Fame tonight. We crosstalk with the KFC Masterpiece next. My goodness. The commercial break was epic.
Thank God Peyton had a read to do.
Yes. Crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece. We were talking about New Orleans, the inauguration, the White House Moving Company.
I think that was the most interesting part to me is we were all concerned about the logistics of who the movers are for the White House and stuff. Yeah, because you're not just like, hey, let's go get 2 guys in a truck.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you have to have, like, your own White House moving service.
How does it work, Choppy?
So, my understanding is yesterday when the president-elect arrives at the White House, when there's a changeover in power, right? When they arrive, that's, like, kind of That's Joe and Jill's last day in the White House. So they're all packed. They go to the Capitol, right? And then the president that is leaving office goes from the Capitol to Andrews Air Force Base, and they get on Air Force One, and they go to their destination of choice. But while this is going on, while the inauguration is happening...
In the contiguous 48 states. They don't let them go to, like, Hawaii or Alaska, right? That's extra.
Or Canada or Puerto
I don't know.
Rico.
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know the protocol there. Because I think Barack went to... And Michelle, I think they went to Hawaii. I don't know. So...
Where they were born.
Hawaii
in America. That is a state.
So Canada's about to be, and so is Greenland.
Thank you, Corey.
So... Once the current president leaves in the motorcade with the president-elect, there's workers at the Oval Office ripping everything up. They put in new carpet. They take down the artwork. They put in new furniture. They reassemble the Resolute desk. Huh?
New carpet.
New carpet. Every.
But that they picked or just like, no, we got to have like new carpet.
I think you get to, you pick. You pick what you want. Okay. So.
Red or blue. So there's like White House designers, you think? Like, we got a White House moving team.
Yeah, I imagine.
We got White House. But what do you do the other days?
I think, like, don't.
Like, okay, I got my big day on Inauguration Day where I got to change things up the way that Melania or whoever wants it.
Banquet or something coming up, right?
True.
Probably always got to prep.
Good point.
So, like, I mean, they're doing this in a few hours. Like,
that's pretty impressive.
So who knows how much of a team you have? And you have to, like, this desk. The Resolute desk, if you're using that, it's a massive...
The Resolute desk?
That's right.
It's a massive desk. It was a gift from the queen. May have been the king. I don't know. But it was a gift a long time ago.
It's like American Jobs.
And it's like this very elaborate desk, but you got to take it apart. There was President Kennedy changed it up because, like, there was a
so they're changing the desk out.
Yeah, but there used to be, like, an opening in the front. But FDR put a cover there because he didn't want people to see him in his wheelchair. And then Kennedy took that door out, and you see photos of John Jr. playing underneath the desk.
Yeah, I've seen that.
He was looking for candy.
Looking for candy. So there's a lot of cool things that go on in there, but it's just they had to change it out.
Who else watched the inauguration?
It
was weird because we also got an 11 o'clock tip for a Mavericks game on a weekday. So
it was fun.
It was the Mavericks and inauguration, and you're like, wow, these are really different things that are happening.
Corey, what's coming up?
Guys, we will discuss. It's kind of crazy to also realize that Mike McCarthy has been in that White House because he won a Super Bowl. That's wild.
I just listened to 640 today.
The final Tuesday tailgate of the season, we do it at right out of the gate at 10 o'clock. So Carter will join us for that. And then Mike asks all the football questions at 10:20.
And of course,
like what? Cowboys coaches have made the playoffs 60% of the time.
I know McCarthy has.
McCarthy
did that.
Switzer. Barry.
Mike McCarthy, yeah.
Switzer.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Switzer. Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl just like Mike McCarthy did.
Yeah. Jimmy.
You know what the difference is? Switzer was a better coach.
And by the way,
McCarthy has a 608 career
win
percentage.
He was not a better coach. I'm just trolling on that.
That's better than Brian Schottenheimer is officially interviewing NFL Network.
All right, let's go.
His dad
was like a coach for 30 years. That's awesome.
Yeah. How many Super Bowls did he win?
Yeah, he went to the Super Bowls all the time.
Marty Schottenheimer still is a historically underrated
coach. Yeah, he is very underrated. I think.
Hold he on. Was. 19 out of 21 seasons, he had a winning record in a lot of time. I'm not saying that he wasn't a playoff performer. Kevin. You're how about to say Schottenheimer's not a good coach?
How many winning seasons did Mike McCarthy have in Green Bay?
How many Aaron Rodgers did Marty Schottenheimer have?
Stop causing crap, Mike.
Didn't he have a LaDainian Tomlinson?
What were you about to insult about Marty Ball?
No, I wasn't going to insult. I was going to say it just fascinates me that Marty Schottenheimer, who never won anything, is criminally overrated, and you think Mike McCarthy...
Criminally underrated.
Underrated. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And Mike McCarthy, who won a Super Bowl, is criminally overrated?
Right. Super Bowls will do that. Super Bowls will give you, like, criminal overratedness, just like with Eli Manning.
Or
do you think Eli Manning's a better quarterback than Marino?
No.
Right. Like, so I'm saying, like,
but
just
I don't
the
think anybody else.
Like, in
does
fact, I view one
Who
Super Bowl.
That?
I view right. I'm just saying that I think one Super Bowl for McCarthy is actually a ding on his record, given the fact that he had the best quarterback in the conference for a decade.
Green Bay.
The fact that Aaron Rodgers is a perpetual choker.
Well, hang on. Does
or is he just tied
Payton
to a perpetual choker?
Only
in
having one ding him because he had Drew Brees, who was
yes.
What do you mean it dings him?
It does. Like, Breeze, are you absolutely kidding me?
Should it be better they than he won Breeze? Zero?
No, Peyton and McCarthy both should have been in Super Bowls more than once.
Okay, you're saying they should have had more.
I agree with that.
When
I
Mike McCarthy's a coach in the Green Bay-Dallas playoff games, Green Bay's 3-0.
And he would say with the superior quarterback. You know what, Mike?
That is infuriating.
He's just saying facts.
By the way, Mike McCarthy is reporting that weather delays have prevented him from interviewing with the New Orleans Saints.
Mike McCarthy has a social media account?
I mean, he has several reporters that he feeds that information to that have since reported it this morning.
So what is the real report?
There are several reporters saying, hey, Mike McCarthy's definitely interested in, the Saints are definitely interested in, weather has gotten in the way. So,
but why do you have to be so childish and petty about it? No, I'm saying
and I'm telling you.
Why have to be like
there's
so bitchy about it.
I'm just saying. It's great.
Like,
it's
he's gone. You won.
I assume it's Laura Oakman
reporting. Why are you still just whiny and cheap about it?
What do you mean cheap?
You take nothing but cheap shots. Cheap. You already won. Yeah. What are you being so petty about it for?
I'm just saying. It's the report that's out there.
Like, just celebrate it and be calm and cool and poised.
This is me celebrating
No, you're being
right
freaking
now.
Petty and annoying about
it. I love it.
You want to get punched in the freaking face?
Oh!
Instead of chilling and relaxing, you go home and get your Lubriderm out that you got me all worked up over it because that's what you get your rocks off to.
You better watch out, Bobby.
Just stop being annoying about it. You already won. It's just whiny. It's just freaking whiny. You already won. Be at peace with it. Stop being petty about it. He's not
going to
get hired in the cycle. He's not going to be. And just stop your little stupid cheap shots. Be a little bit.
Be
a little bit professional about it.
It sounds like the reports say he could be hired.
Be a little bit professional about it. Stop being so freaking annoying and whiny with it.
Weather got in the way. That's
Baseball
all.
Hall of Fame.
So we have 195 public ballots that have been. So 50, about 53%. About 53%. It's going to come out tonight, about 6-ish, I think is the time. So right now, as of this moment, Carlos Beltran would be in 81%.
Wow.
All right, just give me your reaction. If
Beltran
is his first time on it?
Wait, are we?
This is his third.
Beltran has no juicing stuff?
He doesn't have the juicing thing, but he might be the father of how to use the cameras to cheat. A lot of people give him a lot of credit for coming up with certain ways on how to use it.
I would assume, so the private ballots are the older guys that are like the...
They're less likely to fill up their ballot to 10.
They're less likely to fill their ballot, so the average ballot has 7 players on it.
These percentages are mostly going to go down.
They always go down because the older guys are a little more cantankerous. They don't put any steroid guys in, all that stuff.
Put the cheating stuff aside from Beltran. Did you think of him as a Hall of Famer?
For a short period of time,
well,
I did.
I will tell you this. Yesterday, my world flipped upside down when it turns out that Brian Giles had an OPS of 151. OPS plus of 151.
Is that from that Juan Soto?
Yes, his 6 years were as good as Juan Soto's 6 years, and that threw me for a loop. So I know nothing anymore about baseball.
Michael, is Carlos Beltran a Hall of Famer?
He's right on that line of he's probably going to. I'll say this: I bet he just misses out this year, but then the next year he gets in. Like it's like over time you let in.
Who's more one between him and Andrew Jones?
I thought Andrew Jones was more dominant in his prime, but Jones ate his way out of the league.
He did. And that's actually kind of going to be what we talk about at 12:20. Can you play your way back out of the Hall of Fame? Because I think that's exactly what happened.
Andrew Jones, when he was
like
here,
Russell Wilson,
when he was like a bit player, I want to say he was 31 or 32 years old.
Yeah.
Because he hit the scene at 19.
Yeah, he had been in the league for a while.
So you were like, oh, well, he was probably like 35 or 36 because that's what he kind of looked like
Tremendous
here.
Tremendous defensive player. He's at 72.8%, so he needs to go up a little bit to get in. You got to be at 75. CeCe is at 92.7%. He only needs to be on about half the remaining ballots to get in, so he's probably going to get in.
He's a first-timer. I know.
This is his first ballot, Ichiro is right now on 100% of the ballots.
Woo! Good.
Someone will probably. There's only been one unanimous. It's Mariano Rivera. I don't know how you justify, but I mean, any of these guys that get up near the top. How do you justify not putting Nolan Ryan in unanimous?
Like, guys, never want to. We do have a little bit of breaking news.
Hey, we're doing Hall of Fame stuff here.
Did Mike McCarthy get hired by the Saints?
Come on, please.
Did the weather clear, Bobby?
According to MLB on Fox.
No.
Kirby Yates is signing with the Dodgers.
No, what? The Dodgers?
Of course they are.
The hell up.
All
are
that
you
money's
serious?
Deferred till 2070.
What the hell?
Yeah, I'm dumbfounded.
They're going to pay him in Blue Chew in 30 years. That's how they're going to pay him.
We gave him a 5-year, $850 million deal. God. We'll pay him in 2048.
God. What, Mike?
We need a closer.
Hang on, though. It was really nice of them yesterday not to sign Santander. I thought it was a good, generous thing that they did for
I let somebody else. Okay, is this exactly like the Yankees spending, you know, when we were growing up?
I don't think anything's ever come close to this.
Not come close.
No, because the issue with the Dodgers is that it's not. I don't care that they're spending this money. I love they're doing this. This is great. This is great for the sport. If you don't think it's great for the sport, it's because your owner sucks.
It causes an evil enemy, too, that everybody hates now. Now there is this dominant force that everybody hates and everybody's trying to
beat. My issue with it is that they're deferring all this money, so they're not paying the luxury tax.
Yeah.
That's my issue with
it. Yeah, they definitely, you know, I think, what is it, 2027, that they can maybe kind of fix this loophole, but maybe they're like, if you did it before, we're not going to cause you penalties. I believe so.
There's going to be a lockout at some point, or strike, whatever they want to call it.
We don't have a closer.
But the thing is,
Kirby Yates,
I think it's going to be owners versus owners this time.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's going to be Pittsburgh and Miami against Dodgers and Yankees.
Like, the players are going to be like, what are we doing wrong here? We're taking the huge money. So now Kenley Jansen's still out there. That he's been a very good closer for a long time. I wouldn't mind getting him, but like we said yesterday, they have approximately
He would go back to the Dodgers. Well,
then he is.
So, all right, we're back tomorrow with the Hump Day edition, the KMC Masterpiece.
We're starting off with Mike McCarthy talk first.
Cool, Bobby, stick around for it. Yeah. KMC is next.